Recording. Okay, it is recording now.
Okay. Get my gavel out, make it official. And good morning. I'm going to go ahead and call this session the Island County Hearing Examiner to order. For the record, today is December 12, 2022 at 9 a.m. We have one item on the agenda this morning. This is number PRD 450/21. Involving a request for preliminary plat approval to subdivide an approximately 19.23-acre property as a planned residential development, or PRD, into seven residential parcels with associated appurtenances and improvements. And this is on property located off the west side of North Camino Ridge Road and south of Cross Island Road. My name is Andrew Reeves. I'm a hearing examiner with Sound Law Center, who the county has selected to hold certain land use application hearings like this one. And today it will be my role to collect evidence in the form of exhibits and testimony to determine whether this proposal is consistent with the county's comprehensive plan, zoning ordinances, critical areas ordinances, and the specific requirements for approval of a PRD and preliminary plat under the municipal code. And in addition, because it involves the subdivision of land, ensure that it complies with our state subdivision act, which is in chapter 5078 of the revised code of Washington. To that end, I received several exhibits in advance of a hearing that I had an opportunity to review. These include a staff report prepared by county staff, the application materials themselves, information on critical areas that are on site, information on the notice that was provided in relation to the application, as well as today's hearing, information on the environmental review that occurred under our state's Environmental Policy Act, or SEPA, some general plat information, information on the review process that occurred between reviewing departments and agencies, and the sort of back and forth between those groups and the applicant themselves, several public comments that were received, and the applicant's response to some of those comments, as well as the agency review comments, and then general correspondence, I believe, that occurred between county staff and the applicants. So those were provided to me and labeled as exhibits A through M, as in Michael. I'll go ahead and admit those exhibits into the record. Should anyone have additional exhibits they would like admitted into the record, let me know when it's your opportunity to testify, and I'll go ahead and address admitting additional exhibits at that time. All testimony today will be under, oath or affirmation. That's because were my decision to be appealed under our state's Land Use Petition Act, or LUPA, the recording of today's hearing, as well as the admitted exhibits and my decision, would serve as the foundation for any such appeal. I may and often do ask questions of those that are testifying. I'm not trying to trip anyone up. I'm just trying to ensure I have a thorough understanding of the proposal, so that within a couple weeks of the record closing, I'm able to produce a decision that is hopefully clear and legally defensible. Finally, the order that we typically follow, and I believe we're going to follow today, is first I'll swear in county staff, who will give an overview of the proposal and the review process that led us to today's hearing. After we hear from county staff, I'll next turn to the applicant team, as it were, to present any additional information they feel that myself or members of the public should be aware of in advance of my making a decision on the proposal. After that, if there are folks interested in testifying, then we'll have that opportunity. And we are using a hybrid format, so there may be some folks there in the room, as well as folks that are participating virtually. So when we get to that point in the hearing, we'll sort all that out, but essentially those that are interested in testifying will have that opportunity. It's a little bit different than a council meeting to the extent that, I don't strictly limit folks to 3 minutes in their testimony, but we do try to keep it to around that range. And then there is not an opportunity for a sort of question and answer back and forth. Essentially, if you have questions, I would ask that you sort of tell me what they are and essentially say, I'm hoping I can get additional information about A, B, and C, and I'll write these questions or queries down and ask that county staff and the applicant team do the same. And then after we've heard from all members of the public interested in testifying, as it were, I'll go back to the applicant team and county staff to try to get answers to some of those questions. And then once we've heard from all members of the public, we'll go back to the applicant team and county staff to respond to any such testimony and to wrap things up, as it were. So that's the order we're going to follow. I thank everyone for being here. And with that, I think we can go ahead and get started. And trying to figure out who I might. Is it Jonathan Lang today, or is it someone else? So I'm trying to figure out who the best person are. Cindy?
Cindy White.
Who will be? Is it Cindy White? The way I see the camera, I'm just seeing right in between two people, so it's hard to tell. Okay. And I'll swear you in. Do you swear or affirm to tell the truth in the testimony you give here today?
Yes, I do.
And if you can just state and spell your name for the audio and explain your role here at the county.
Cindy White, CINDYWHITE. And I'm a planner for Island County.
Great. Thank you for being here, Planner White. And with that, go ahead and did my explanation of the exhibits track with what you were hoping I would review in advance of the hearing today?
Yes.
Okay, so we have so far exhibits A through M as in Michael. Please go right ahead.
Good morning. My name is Cindy White, assistant planner with Island County Planning and Community Development, here to recommend the conditional approval for the 7-lot planned residential development proposed by Titan Homes. After thoroughly reviewing the materials submitted by the applicant, Island County has determined the proposal meets the goals of the comprehensive plan by encouraging clustered residential development to protect natural features, critical areas and their buffers, and preserve the rural character. The review of this application followed the Type 3 decision process as required for compliance with Island County Codes 16.06 for land divisions, 16.19 land use review, 16.17 planned residential development, 17.02 critical areas, 17.03.070 rural zone, 17.03.180 land use standards. The application was submitted on November 24th, 2021 and determined to be complete on December 8th, 2021. On January 14th, the notice of application was mailed to property owners within 300 feet of the parcel. The notice of the application was posted on site January 19th, 2022 and appeared in both the Whidbey News Times and Stanwood Camino News. During the 14-day public comment period, several comments were submitted over concerns of how drainage would be managed, the impact the proposal could have on the habitat, streams, wetlands, and buffers located on the parcel, the proposed development not being in character with surrounding parcels, and questioning how the proposal is in compliance with the 5-acre minimum parcel size requirements of the rural zone. This parcel has a rural zoning designation, which allows for planned residential developments when a parcel is 20 acres or larger and able to meet the requirements for land division and dedications, health, welfare, and sanitation, public works, land development standards, zoning, and critical area code. Although this parcel is described as a 19.23 acres, a portion of the original 20-acre parcel was conveyed by deed to Island County for road purposes on July 17, 1967, and recorded under Auditor's File Number 199987. This conveyance reduced the parcel size to 19.23 acres, but for the purpose of subdivisions, the gross lot area shall include any land required to be dedicated for public right-of-way. When applying the density bonus system, this 20-acre parcel is allowed 100% maximum density bonus with a 65% minimum open space ratio. This proposal designates 13 acres of the 20 acres to open space, allowing for a density bonus of 3 units and a base density of 4 units for a total of 7 units. Type F stream is located approximately 750 feet to the northwest of the parcel, and a freshwater emergent Category D wetland with a 200-foot buffer runs along the west side of the parcel where 13 acres have been designated as open space. To provide protections to these critical areas, the recording of covenants and applying conditions such as restrictions recorded on the face of the final plat to the wetland buffer and conservation easements being surveyed and marked on site with permanent signs posted along the buffer, along with the additional of permanent wildlife compatible fencing at the wetland buffer across lots 1 and 2 to maintain its natural state. To fit in with the rural character, the applicant will plant natural vegetation along with 8-foot fir trees to provide appropriate screening between the development and Camino Ridge Road, along with additional screening between lots 2 and 3 to allow the 200-foot buffer to be reduced to 160, as well as locating the building footprint 100 feet back from the right-of-way. Island County Planning Department is recommending conditional approval for the 7-lot long plat planned residential development, which includes by reference all conditions, recommendations, and requirements provided in the July 8, 2022 memo from Island County Areas Critical Areas Planner, the July 20th, 2022 memo from the Island County Public Works Development Coordinator, and the March 31st memo from the Island County Health Department Land Use Coordinator. Thank you, and I'm available to answer any questions you may have.
Great, thank you. I do have some questions for you. First off, if we could walk through the SEPA review, the review that occurred under the State Environmental Policy Act, I see that the optional process was used, meaning that notice that the county intended or thought it would issue a determination of non-significance was provided with the notice materials, and that was under Washington Administrative Code, WAC 197.11.355. But then, excuse me, the staff report has a section in it that seems to be, is that the final SEPA review? I was just trying to understand what I was looking at. If someone could walk me through the intent there, I think it was, let's see, page 8 of the staff report has the information about SEPA. And maybe Jonathan Lang is maybe the best person, if not you, but either way, whatever works best.
SEPA was advertised when the notice of application was posted in the paper.
Right. So that the optional process was used whereby the county essentially said, this is what we think we're going to do. You have, you know, this may be your only opportunity to comment under the State Environmental Policy Act, but then normally, or not normally, it's required. There's a next step that then ultimately the county does make that determination. So I'm just, okay, I think Jonathan Lang's raising his hand and he is our SEPA responsible official. So why don't I turn to him briefly. Jonathan Lang, I'll swear you in. Do you swear or affirm to tell the truth in testimony you give here today?
I do.
And if you could just state and spell your name for the record and explain your role here at the county.
Of course. Jonathan Lang, that is J-O-N-A-T-H-A-N. L-A-N-G-E. I'm the Assistant Director of the Planning and Community Development Department, also the designated SEPA official for the county. We intend to issue the DNS, the Determination of Non-Significance, and I understand, yeah, your confusion on that page. There was no signature for myself or a date. There will be a, we would be signing the SEPA determination once the determination comes out from you, I believe. So we have a official recommendation, and then the SEPA threshold can be at that time of decision. We usually issue the DNS at the same time as our decisions and have them run that typically the same public comment or appeal period at the same time. Okay. So I hope that answers questions.
Sure, to clarify that. So essentially, there's several ways in which SEPA works or can work. It's each jurisdiction makes that determination. So here, based on what you're telling me, it sounds that in Island County, the way it would work is that there's a decision or recommendation. Is it a decision or recommendation on a plat? I should have looked. It's changed over time. I think it's a decision.
Our recommendation to you and then your decision.
And that decision can be appealed. Well, so I guess my question is, I'll produce a decision one way or the other on the underlying preliminary plat PRD. And then what you're saying is you, the county, will issue the DNS. You believe it'll be a DNS at the same time. And then the appeal period for both, I assume to Superior Court, would run concurrently. And then if someone wanted to appeal one, either both, they would do that to the Superior Court at that time. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. So just wanted to make sure. So in some jurisdictions, there's the potential to appeal the SEPA determination to me, the hearing examiner. That clearly wouldn't be the case here, or else the determination would have already had to have happened. Is that right?
That's correct. And correct me if I'm wrong, Cindy. We haven't issued that DNS yet.
Correct.
That's correct.
Okay, great. Thank you. So just to make sure I understand, so again, the optional process was used under WAC 197.11.355, which essentially provided for a comment period with the notice of application. And then the county hasn't technically issued the final DNS. It intends to do so in the future, around the time my decision comes out or when my decision comes out, and then any appeal of the SEPA determination would be concurrent, as it were, with any appeal of my decision to the Superior Court. Is that right, Mr. Lang?
That is correct.
Okay. Anything further while I have you here? And then I did have a question about a SEPA exhibit, and maybe you're not the best person. The checklist I have, I'm missing about two-thirds of the pages, so I was just curious what happened there, but you might not be the person to ask. But any further thoughts on SEPA or anything else related to this proposal, Mr. Lang?
No, and I'm here as well just to assist if there are any further questions.
Okay. Well, you might know this. I'm looking at the Exhibit E, which is the SEPA checklist, and I don't know if it was a copying issue, but my numbering goes, you know, page 1, page 3, page 5. So I think I only got about half, and then there's several other pages missing. I'm assuming you can at least verify that a full and complete SEPA checklist was received, I assume.
Correct.
Oh, okay. Are we going back to
the same dates? November 24th, 2021, when the application was submitted.
Okay. So we do have a complete SEPA checklist. I would just ask that if we can ensure my office receives the full SEPA checklist. I think it was a technical issue, obviously, but we've just verified that a full SEPA checklist was received. Okay.
We can get that to you after the hearing.
Great. Yeah, these tech problems, these things certainly happen, so not a problem there. Okay. Next question, just to verify, Cindy White, you were sort of one of the concerns folks had raised had to do with the sort of 20 acres versus 19.23 acres, but your testimony was essentially that a while back a portion of the property was conveyed as public right-of-way, but the original sort of land mass, as it were, was at least 20 acres. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And so, as you explained, and as is explained in the staff report, when we calculate things like density under the plat revisions, the gross site area does account for land that's been dedicated or will be dedicated as right-of-way, so that issue is essentially a non-issue, as it were. This proposal does involve property that was at least initially 20 acres in size. So I think you've explained that well. Thank you. Just looking. And just to clarify, I know there was some concerns about wells, but just to clarify, that issue has been mooted out or made a non-issue to the extent that water for the proposal is going to be provided from a municipal water system. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
And I appreciate others helping. I will certainly, I'll call or ask others to be called on when needed. Otherwise it'll get a little complicated. Okay.
Yes, confirmation has been received for the water service connection.
Yep, just trying to. Okay. And then just briefly on critical areas, you had testified briefly about these, and essentially there's a type F or fish-bearing stream, but that is beyond, even with buffers, that would be beyond, even the buffers would be outside of the bounds of the proposal. Is that right?
The streams, that's correct, as well as the wetland buffers.
Oh, wait. Okay. Now I'm confused. I thought there was a fish-bearing stream that is 750 or so feet to the northwest, I think. But then the wetland, I thought there were buffers that extended onto this plat and impact the proposal. Did I misunderstand that?
No, that is correct, sir.
Okay. And so... And I'll have the applicant speak to this as well, but it appears that some temporary impacts would occur, and that there have been critical areas reports that have been prepared to address impacts to wetlands. Is that right?
That is correct. And should you have any questions, Renee, our critical area planners, is available.
Okay. Sure. Well, why don't we hear from Renee, just to the extent that I know there's been interest by the public, and so it can be helpful to have some testimony about these issues. So if we can go to our critical areas planner.
Hi.
Hi, I'm going to swear you in. Do you swear or affirm to tell the truth in the testimony you give here today?
I do.
And if you could state and spell your name for the audio and explain your role here at the county.
Yeah, certainly. My name is Renee Zavis Silva. That's R-E-N-E-E. And then two last names, Z-A-V-A-S. And second, Silva, S-I-L-V-A. And I am the critical areas planner for Island County.
Great. Thank you for being here. So no need to get too far into the weeds, but I was hoping you could just give a basic overview of sort of what the critical areas are and what impacts there would be and sort of what processes are being used procedurally to address these matters.
Yeah, certainly. So on site, there is a Category D wetland with an associated 200-foot buffer that was based on high land use intensity and a habitat score of 33 with no outlet present. So that was determined in the wetland report submitted by Palmer Land Consultants. There was also a biological site assessment submitted, and the reports determined that there would not be any permanent impact to the wetland itself. In reviewing this, I looked at a section of the code that requires that when land divisions occur, that no lot segregation shall occur that doesn't provide adequate building sites. So the definition in Island County Code of adequate building site means an area large enough to accommodate a reasonably sized home, driveway, utilities, septic system, and a necessary a well. And the applicant submitted a site plan showing a buildable space outside of the critical area buffers, which was required for them to show on a site plan. So that's like access to the driveways, everything I listed in that definition. So they also proposed buffer averaging, which you can see on the site plan, and the wetland report confirmed that there wouldn't be any adverse effect to the wetland functions as required in the code, and that the total amount of the buffer isn't decreased. So that total buffer, the section that was reduced was added to provide more connectivity to the adjacent forested areas.
Okay, so just to clarify, so, excuse me, there would be no development or impact of any kind specifically to the wetland itself, and then mm-hmm. based on sort of the high quality of this wetland, and I know Island County uses a different system than is
yes.
the most common DOE systems. So I would
Correct.
Say it's category three or so, two maybe, if we were to use that language. But in Island County, it'd be category D, requiring a 200-foot buffer. And the sort of plat map site plan shows that even the 200-foot buffer does not impact, I believe, lots 3 through 7 for the most part, but a slight portion of that buffer would extend on the lots, proposed lots 1 and 2. And you've stated that sort of buffering is being used to take a little bit of that buffer away from there, add it in elsewhere to sort of try to ensure that, A, we haven't lost any buffer in the nets, and B, that the buffer will have at least as good or better sort of functionality using buffer averaging. Is that accurate assessment?
Yeah, correct.
Okay. And then you can verify, too, the type F stream that was referenced is quite a bit of the way off-site and
yes.
this proposal. Excellent. Anything else in terms of critical areas or the environment you wanted to share while I had you on here?
I don't think specifically at this time.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for being here. So
yeah, thank you.
With that, we'll go back to Planner Cindy White. Just wanted to check on a couple more things with you. Let's see. I think I had one other. Sorry, just checking my notes here. Oh, the final question, I think, from the moment I had, anyway, was there was in the sort of correspondence through the notice the complete application process with the county. There was reference to waivers and whether there had been waivers requested or not. And can you just clarify kind of where things came down and did the director grant any waivers specifically and what those were?
No, the county did not allow for waivers. What the waivers requested were about signage, lighting, and
I think it was landscape plans or updated.
Thank you. I was trying to get to my map.
That's okay.
So in the process of the request, we did ask for not only for them to show us landscaping, but we required additional landscaping so that way it would maintain the rural character of the lot. They also came up with a design for a sign that will be placed in front of the development. And then they also provided the type of lighting that would be used, and it is covered, so it will meet Highland County sign and lighting standards.
Okay. So ultimately, there were no, and to clarify the language, a waiver is different than, say, a variance. That the applicant wasn't requesting that any specific dimensional standards requirements within the municipal code be altered or waived. They were essentially just asking that some of the submittal requirements and some engineering requirements potentially be waived, and the county ultimately did not grant any waivers, but they provided all the information that was necessary in the county's view to meet the requirements. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And then finally, before we move to the applicant team, just to always like to ask, have there been any changes to the comprehensive plan, zoning ordinances, or critical areas ordinances that would have an impact on this proposal since the application was deemed complete?
No, sir.
No vesting issues. Okay. Were there any other members of staff you were hoping I would hear from before I go to the applicant team, as it were?
If you have any questions for our development coordinators, they're available, as well as Patty in the health department. If you have any questions about the septic and wells.
Sure. I think at this point, I would hear probably go to the applicants and then members of the public. But if those folks are able to stick around in case there are further questions at the end, that would be great.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. And do we have someone that I should speak to for the applicant? That is the, I see Mr. Vilwak. Is that you?
That's correct.
Oh, okay. He appears before me all over the state, and so we don't know each other personally, just, he works for a company that does a lot of work. So I will get you sworn in. Do you swear or affirm to tell the truth in the testimony you give here today?
I do.
And if you could state and spell your name for the recording, please, and explain your role here with this proposal.
Absolutely. My name is Mark Vilwak. And it's spelled M-A-R-K, and last name, V as in Victor, I-L-L-W-O-C-K. And I'm a civil engineer with LDC, who was hired to do the engineering and planning for this project.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Vilwak. So this is your opportunity, as you know, to present any additional information you feel that myself or members of the public should be aware of, and to sort of get clarification from planning staff about recommended conditions, et cetera. So I'll let you dive right in and go right ahead, sir.
Thank you so much. The county did a great job giving kind of an overview of the project, so I won't repeat any of that information, but did want to just kind of highlight a few things that were along the lines of public questions and also the questions that you asked, Mr. Hearing Examiner. And so for starters, you know, just wanted to highlight that the actual growth site area is 20.11 acres. And that can be shown on Exhibit F on the cover sheet where it gives some different dimensional numbers and data, et cetera. So if you need to find that, that's where that is located. And the homes will be connected to the Camano Hills Water Company water system, and that has secured those water connections. So so it will be all seven lots will be connected to a municipal water system. The seven lots will be on septic drain fields, and so that's how they're proposed for the septic design. And then also there are some questions just around access. Of the seven lots, six of them will have shared driveways. So there will be four connections to North Camano Ridge Road for the project, not seven. So we did the shared driveways per the county's request to reduce, you know, the number of entrances on the North Camano Ridge Road. And for stormwater, the stormwater will be fully dispersed on the site, which is the DOE's preferred method of stormwater treatment on their BMP list. And so that's the approach that the site will take to handle stormwater.
And sorry to interrupt, Mr. Villock, to clarify a couple quick points there. Back to the 20.11 acres, just to clarify what you meant by that. So did you essentially take the conveyance that occurred from North Camano Ridge and you did the math so I wouldn't have to and said if you add it back in, it was 20.11? Is that where that number came from?
That's absolutely correct, Mr. Hearing Examiner. We did add in that deeded property to the current, you know, property size, and that came up as a gross area prior to the deeding of the right-of-way to be 20.11 acres.
Right, because I think that the conveyance was included, but, you know, thank you for doing the math. I'll quickly double-check when I'm producing my decision, but I'm certain that you as an engineer ought to be better at math than I am, and I'm confident that that's true. So that was thing one. The second thing was the driveways. You had said four total driveways, right? So it's four driveways serving seven. So essentially, I think it's lots one and two, three and four, five and six all have shared, and then the lot seven will have its own. Is that an accurate understanding?
Yeah, thanks for clarifying that. So that's exactly correct.
Okay, and then on stormwater, you said fully dispersed, but just to slightly flesh that out, fully dispersed meaning all the stormwater will be sort of dealt with on the site itself. It's not being collected and sent to some other system to be addressed somewhere else. It's going to be either infiltrated or some of it might go to recharge the wetland. Can you just briefly elaborate on that point, Mr. Villa?
Absolutely. There'll be a series of dispersal trenches outside the wetland buffer that any new impervious and landscaped areas will be routed to fully disperse that stormwater through vegetated flow paths, as shown in Exhibit F. And that will all be happening on site.
So I guess what I'm trying to get you to tell me is all the rain, all the water that comes to the site, none of it will have detrimental impacts or increase, you know, the water that is impacting adjacent properties. Essentially, it'll mimic the pre-existing site conditions, and the water will stay on site, through natural processes after the dispersion occurs into the open space areas. Is that kind of an accurate way of thinking about it?
Yeah, that's correct. By using the dispersal process and routing it, you know, through the vegetated areas, that it's it will mimic a forested condition as the site is right now. So there, the wetland will continue to be hydrated as it is today, and there is not anticipated any impacts to neighboring properties.
Thank you. Sorry to interrupt. I think that was, you had other things you were going to point out. I just wanted to not get too far down the list before I asked a couple questions and made sure I didn't forget anything. So please continue, Mr. Bullock.
Yeah, not a problem. And yeah, feel free to ask any additional questions as I continue. So on the wetland buffer, just wanted to clarify one thing. So the original proposal was to do buffer averaging. But then in working with the county, we decided to revise the proposal to not do buffer averaging. So the full 200-foot buffer will be kind of acknowledged throughout the site and will be maintained throughout the site undisturbed as it is today. And that can be seen in Exhibit F. And there is, you know, basically an open space easement across lots 1 and 2 in the corner of 4. To kind of show that those areas will not be developed, you know, when the homes are developed. So just wanted to make sure you have that clarification.
Sure. Okay. So to clarify the point there, you know, if I'm looking at, say, the first page of Exhibit F, you know, the little dotted line would be the 200-foot buffer. We can see that the it'd be the southeast corner of tiny corner of lot 4 would be impacted, and then some of 1 and 2. There is, I think, septic infrastructure going in for in some of these areas, correct? Let's start there.
The septic areas are shown on the next sheet of Exhibit F, and so those are more towards the front of the lot. There is a level spreader just outside the wetland buffer, and there's kind of a cross area, you know, and that is just the vegetated flow path, right? So no work is needed in that area. I'm just showing that the plants exist currently, right?
I apologize. I did not look closely enough at the fine print when I was looking at this. Now I see that those are level spreaders, and that's just sort of showing, those rectangular boxes are showing where the water, that's not actual structures or development. So now I'm seeing exactly what you're talking about. So essentially, the buffer itself will be fully maintained and respected and protected. So my apologies for misunderstanding the designation. It's got rectangles and rectangles and rectangles, and I just needed to look more closely. So thank you. I'm glad you clarified that.
Not a problem. Glad to do so. And then kind of one of the last comments before I dive into the conditions a little bit, just a couple items there, that all the lots are 1 acre or more in the proposed development. So that'll tie into something here in a second. So in looking at the staff report and conditions of approval, condition number 5 references Exhibit I, which is the Public Works letter and recommendations. If you want to pull up I, you know, I see you looking.
I'm trying, yeah. Okay, so I'm now two items. So the recommended conditions of approval and the number you were just referencing was recommended condition 5, is that right?
Yes, which points to Exhibit I.
Which I'm now pulling that up. Okay. The Public Works memos. Okay. I'm following.
All right. So item number 2 in their memo talks about fire flow being required if a project creates 9 or less dwelling units and or lots, with any lots is 1 acre or less in size. All our lots are more than 1 acre in size, so fire flow is not required for this plat.
Okay, so the concern isn't so much recommended condition five, it's the fact that within, and we'll get to the county in a sec. We'll come back around, I promise. The concern was that within the public works memo that is referenced, there may be some aspects that the applicant feels are no longer applicable. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. And I do see that Jonah Dunn wanted to speak potentially to this. I would say, why don't we try to get through all the concerns you may have, and then hopefully we can get one response from the county on any of those concerns. So anything else, Mr. Vowak, on these recommended conditions?
Yeah, and it's, you know, the fire flow is kind of, you know, just throughout the public works memo, so we can come back to that in a second. And then my next item is recommended condition number 17.
Okay, so this relates to conveyance, conservation easement, something to that effect. Is that right?
Yes. And so I had one was I wanted to propose that this conveyance of open space be provided on the base of the final plat rather than a separate document, just to streamline permit processing. And if, you know, at any event, you know, it says prior to final, and that if it remains as is, the word plat should most likely be added in there so that it would read, number 17, it would read prior to final plat, proposed conveyance, open space conservation easement. And then the code citation also should be corrected. It should read ICC 16.17.110A.
So you're saying, I guess, two things. First, you're saying the preference the applicant would be essentially that the conservation easement or conveyance of open space, you know, shall be recorded on the face of the final plat, period. Something to that effect?
Yes, that's correct.
Or alternatively, if this condition were to be kept and amended, it would be prior to final plat approval, et cetera, and then use ICC 16.17.110 as the correct code option, correct citation. Is that right, Mr. Bullock?
And that is correct. And I also want to point the hearing examiner on page 11 of the staff report. There's item E that would go on the face of the final plat. That note would need to be amended slightly if we did the open space conservation easement on the face of the plat. We wouldn't be referring to a previously recorded document. We'd just be putting that easement language on the face of the final plat and just recording it once. So my recommendation would be to just include that language on the face of the plat to keep everything in one place for the future owners in the county.
Got it. Okay. I think I understand that point.
And then lastly, we were talking about the waivers a minute ago, and those landscape plans and sign plans, et cetera, are included in Exhibit F. If you had any questions about that,
I think I understand. I just wanted to make sure process was covered, you know, and that we had it all on the record and it was clear what the process was. But thank you for clarifying. I do have Exhibit F.
And that's all our comments at this time.
Sure. And just to clarify, because your understanding of any appeal process that would occur of my decision and SEPA, did my discussion with Jonathan Lang, did that track? And did the applicant have any questions or thoughts on that issue? Not issue, but to just make sure I understood what the process was.
Yeah, it's a little different than what I typically used to, but it does make sense that both appeal periods for yours for the PRD plat approval would run concurrently with any potential SEPA appeal, and that would be to Superior for an ALUPA filing, correct?
That'd be my understanding, yeah. Okay. And then just make sure if I had any other questions before we go to Public Works wanted to respond. Just checking my notes. Did you have anything else while I'm checking my notes, Mr. Bullock?
I did not, so.
Apologies. Let's see. This was prepared. Kind of a minor, just want to make sure I didn't miss anything, but do you have Exhibit K available to you, Mr. Bullock? It's essentially, I think your group prepared a sort of response to comments, and I'm just asking to make sure I have a complete exhibit. It looks that I'm guessing some things were probably provided electronically, but then I'm wondering if they got printed and scanned instead of just compiled electronically. But I just want to make sure I'm not missing parts of any documents. On page 3, I couldn't tell. It almost appears I might be missing a page between. Well, first off, do you have the exhibit?
Yes, I do have. I printed, you know, what the county posted as the exhibit.
Yeah, so I have the May 24, 2022 letter from LDC Engineering. And I'm looking at that's page 3 or so. See, this is where I get confused. Maybe there's 2 letters. The one I'm concerned about has the table. Response, Island County Code, minimum lot size. And the last word is based in bold, and then the next page doesn't appear to continue on. So it felt to me like maybe there was something missing. Do you see what I'm talking about?
I'd like to refer, if I can confer with Cindy, is there a
page missing? Yeah, it looks like it is. This is missing. His record is missing this because it just goes to the last.
Yeah.
So
if you'd like to read
the page. Yes, there is a page that appears to be missing from electronic record that we had submitted to the county, and the county has a copy of it. So
what I would suggest, and Mr. Bullock, am I correct in thinking that your group does submit things electronically? I mean, you're not printing and mailing all of your information these days, are you?
It was a little bit of a combination with the county, but we did email quite a bit of the later information.
So I assume your group would have sort of access and control over this exhibit as well as the complete SEPA checklist. If you guys can put those in or send them as PDF to the county and the county can forward the PDF, I think the problem is somehow things are getting printed and then scanned, and then they're, you know.
And I think part of that, Mr. Hearing Examiner, is that, as you can see on a lot of these documents, they're actually hand-stamped in to, you know what I mean, of when they were received by the county. And so it looks like their process was to print what we had, you know, submitted, hand-stamp it, and then rescan it again. And Cindy does have the full copies of these exhibits in her possession right now in front of her. The county, it might be best if the county provides them, because then it's a true copy of what was actually stamped received, rather than me sending you one that doesn't have the receive stamp on it, right? So,
Okay. I understand the issue about the receive stamp, I'm confident that I guess where I see there's maybe technological challenges is that to do this process of printing them using the receive stamp, then there's a giant stack that then gets scanned. I think there's some tech issues that occur with the scanning. I'm confident that these were received as noted here. I just would like complete copies. And so if they have the complete copies, I don't need the receive stamp. I just want to make sure I have the information. I'm confident that they were received as noted with the stamps. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, Mr. Hank-Sander. And the county and I, you know, we can work together to get you the documents probably today or tomorrow, most likely. Perfect. But we'll make sure you have everything.
Thank you. Okay. I think that was it on my end. Did you have anything further or others you were hoping I would hear from, Mr. Golak, before we quickly hear back from Public Works?
No, we don't have anything else at this time.
Okay, so yeah. I believe our Public Works Coordinator Dunn had some thoughts on the fire flow issue before we move to members of the public. So there we are, unmuted. Can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine, yeah.
Okay, I'll swear you in. Do you swear or affirm to tell the truth in the testimony you give here today?
I swear.
And if you could just state and spell your name for the record and explain your role here at the county.
My name is Donna Dunn, D-O-N-A-H-D-U-N-N, and I am one of the development coordinators for Island County Public Works.
Great. Thank you for being here, and you had some additional thoughts or comments based on what we just discussed. So please go right ahead.
So when I was reviewing this PRD, I was fairly new at my role, so I do apologize if I did miss this 9 or less lots. I think I was kind of going under the residential uses for 900 feet maximum between hydrant spacing and them needing to have the one at the corner. I was calculating that 900 feet, and that was where I came up with the assumption that it was going to be required for the residential uses as part of 1303A.1. Or 090 for the fire hydrants. But if I'm misunderstanding that and it's not required, then I can definitely amend my letter. But that's where I was thinking for the additional hydrant requirement.
Okay, sorry. Okay. Not being an engineer myself, I guess my concern would be, right now we have a proposed condition that planning staff has included that essentially says, you know, that the applicant needs to address all the things that are in this letter from Public Works from the 20th. And I guess it's a little beyond my expertise to get into the nitty gritty about where the fire hydrants go, et cetera. I guess what I would suggest is perhaps after the hearing, I would be comfortable with the applicant, i.e. Mr. Volak and his team of engineers, having further discussion with you and your team. And if something needs to change, that would be fine. But rather than, I guess what I would want to do would be to just update the recommended condition where this can be approved that essentially says something to the effect of Public Works recommendations from July 20th or as may be amended by Public Works. That way, if
okay.
We would have to come back here, there wouldn't be any problems. So Mr. Volak, does that make sense? I'm trying to avoid the technical problem of, you know, having to A, come back to me, or B, things being stuck when they don't need to be stuck. So did you hear my recommendation, Mr. Volak?
Yeah, let me confirm it and get back with you on what was the...
I think you missed it. What I would suggest would be to essentially, I would alter the record, assuming I were to approve this, I haven't made that decision, but if this were to be approved, the recommended condition, I would alter it to the extent that I would essentially say that the applicant, you know, must adhere to the conditions and recommendations of the Island County Public Works Department as detailed in the July 20th, 2022 memo, you know, or as sort of thereafter amended, something to the effect that there's a, you all can continue if needed to address the issue, but as someone not with an engineering background, I think this is probably beyond the scope of me needing to do the final sign off on the nitty gritty. I'm confident as long as, you know, you all can come to an agreement on that fine detail. I just want to make sure there's no problems in terms of the conditions and what's going forward. So I think that would solve it. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, Mr. Hearing Examiner. We'd be accepting of that. So.
Excellent. Okay, then, Coordinator Dunn, anything else from you before we move on?
Nope, that would be it.
Appreciate it. Thank you. And Ms. Pollock, anything else from the applicant or any other members of your team you were hoping I'd hear from before we go to members of the public?
Not at this time. You can continue with the public.
Okay. So at this time, why don't we see, are there any members of the public in the room there?
No, there aren't any.
There aren't any. Okay. And then it's incredibly difficult on Teams for me to tell. I'm hoping... Do we have Ms. White or some, is anybody able to tell? Sorry, Teams is my nemesis.
Oh, Mr. Reeves, if you don't mind, yeah. I believe Marika is on the line. I believe she is an audience member.
Okay.
And also there is a cell phone number that is also, looks like that would be also an audience member, and it appears that everyone else is staff.
Okay, so why don't we start with the person identified as Marika. If I said that wrong, I apologize.
No, you got it correct. Thank you.
Excellent. I'll swear you in, okay? Do you swear or affirm to tell the truth in the testimony you give here today?
Yes.
And if you could just state and spell your name for the recording.
Marika Saarinen, Marika Saarinen.
All right, Saar, one more time, I apologize.
That's no problem, Saarinen.
Okay, got it. Thank you, go right ahead.
Sure, my husband Peter Grant and I are the neighbors at 107 North Camino Ridge Road, and we had, of course, concerns when we saw the development being put in. We have a parcel slightly less than 15 acres, which we are developing into a single family residence for ourselves and our animals. So everybody has addressed all of our concerns, because our big thing is we moved to Camino because we want a rural place that is quiet, offers privacy, and also really takes wildlife into consideration. We are so lucky to have the Ridge Reserve behind us. We have wildlife cameras that show coyotes, deer, rabbits, et cetera. And so finding a way to help them coexist with us, it sounds like Titan Homes has found ways to do that. It also seems that there is consideration for privacy for us and the other neighbors, in that there are going to be planted hedges to screen from the road, and that the homes are being set 100 feet back. So really, my comments are actually a thank you for everyone who is on this project, because really, I feel like our comments and our concerns have been taken into effect. So preserving wildlife, we've done that also with a 100-foot buffer all the way around our property so we can have all the great nature that Camino offers. So we're just encouraging everybody to keep the nature invested. So really just a thank you, and that's it.
Great. And I think you said Peter Grant is your partner in life. And I believe we have written comments you may have helped with in the record already. So wonderful to hear that it seems that the process is working. That's always nice to hear. So I'm sure both county staff and the applicant appreciate you taking the time to express that. And thank you for your
thank
thoughts
you
today.
Much.
Okay. And then next, we do have a phone number, Colin, ending in 1-1. And I think on Teams, I'm going to get star 6, but I honestly am terrible with the functionality with Teams. But we're trying to see if the person who's called in, whose number ends in 1-1, is interested in testifying. Now would be your opportunity. And if I was wrong about how they unmute on Teams, if anyone knows, please weigh in. Okay, nothing thus far, and I don't believe county staff needed to allow access.
No.
Can our clerk let me know I'm not messing this up? I don't know.
No, I don't see, and we did not mute the caller, so I believe it's muted on their end.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Okay, so we're going to assume then that not interested in participating actively. And just to verify, does not appear to county staff that there are any others that would be interested in testifying. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. Well, based on that, I doubt there's a whole lot more, but Mr. Wilbach, anything final on behalf of the applicant? I'm sure it was nice to hear the comments of the neighboring property owners, but go right ahead, sir.
Yeah, we had nothing else at this time. Do appreciate the neighbor and their positive comments. So.
Great. Thank you very much. And then the exhibits I had were A through M as in Michael. Does that track with your thoughts there, Mr. Villot?
That is correct. That's the ones I had printed out as well.
And then to make my life somewhat easier, I'll do what I sometimes require you to do. Could you, I'm going to make an exhibit N, but could you maybe just very quickly put into words the sort of recommendations or thoughts or changes you were hoping to see in terms of those recommended conditions? We don't need to leave the record sort of open beyond today, but if we can just make that exhibit N, I just want to make sure I didn't miss anything or mess anything up. I sometimes do anyway, but that at least helps. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, Mr. Herring-Sammer. I'd be happy to do that for you.
So I'm just going to call that applicant memo concerning proposed conditions. Does that sound good?
Yes.
Excellent. Okay. And then you already know this, but please be in touch with Donna Dunn to whatever you all sort out. Ultimately, I don't need it to the extent that I'm confident you all will work it out. But, you know that that's something you need to be doing. I'm confident you'll take care of it. Okay. Excellent. Okay. Let me go then back to our planning staff and just see if they had any final thoughts or comments. City Wyatt.
Yes, sir. The comment and question that was mentioned by the applicant requesting the covenant to be recorded on the face of the plat instead of recorded separately was actually required because a lot of times the applicants do not get a copy of the final map. And at any time a deed is pulled, that information will come up and be available to the public. So anybody who purchased that property would be aware of those conservation easements.
And so just to make sure I understood, so the issue of how how are the conservation easements addressed? I think the applicant, their request had essentially been, sorry, this was which condition of my 17, I believe.
Correct.
Well, Mr. Vowak, can you speak to this? I assume there'd be something on the face of the plat, but also something separately recorded. I thought it was more of a timing issue, but Mr. Vowak, can you just speak to what you were thinking again, maybe clarifying this thought?
Yeah, and that's helpful too. And, you know, if they could be recorded simultaneously, even that would be helpful, right? You know, kind of like when you record CC&Rs, you know, at the same time as a final plat, if we could add, you know, one option would be to add the third document being this the open space covenant and easement is one option. I, you know, it'd be nice just to put on the face of the plat, but if the county wants it as a separate recorded document, at the very least, if we could do, you know, record those three documents all at the same time, that would be appreciated.
Sorry, just to be clear, when you say three documents, what are the three?
The three documents would be the final plat, the CC&Rs for Homeowners Association, and then this open space easement covenant.
Okay, I don't recall hearing or seeing a whole lot about CC&Rs, but I get, was that brought up? I'm sorry, you threw me for a loop.
Yeah, it wasn't in the staff condition. It's just a matter of course, right? Today's world.
Yes, that I understand.
Kind of have, you know, the bar is so high, right, for not needing an HOA that you pretty much need one with every plat. So
now I get it. So the thought being we're already going to simultaneously record CC&Rs with the plat. You're saying if the county would like a separate covenant, critical areas, you know, protection document, native, you know, NGPA, they're called things differently in different places, the request would be that the recording could happen simultaneously so that timing-wise, you know, there's everything happens together. Is that accurate?
That's absolutely accurate. And the, you know, recording numbers are, you know, sequential and everything's more easily tied together. So.
Right. County staff, citywide, your thoughts there? Does that track and make sense?
Yes, sir. That would be acceptable.
Excellent. So one thing I would suggest, I think we're about ready to wrap up, but if after we are done, Mr. Vowak intends on producing a very short memorandum that essentially says, here's the conditions that I would hope, you know, to be altered in some way. But if county planning staff has a moment to sort of talk a little tiny bit more about that with Mr. Vowak, that might improve the memorandum that comes my way. And ultimately, I do note for the record, it's going to be up to me to, were I to approve this, to decide what conditions ultimately would be. But I think just trying to make sure everyone would be on the same page would be helpful. So I think that was it. Mr. Vowak, sorry, I know feel like I keep robbing here, but it threw me off with CC&Rs. But anything further or final you needed to touch on before we conclude our hearing today?
We're good for today.
Okay. You're good for today on this matter. All right, got it. And then over to Cindy White. Was that the final matter that county staff wanted to address?
There is one additional, sir. Okay. After putting out the recommendation, we did receive additional affidavits of posting from Skagit Publishing that we did not have at the time that we sent the recommendation to you.
Oh, sure. There were a few things that were going to be sent to my office, and the additional posting information can just be included, I think, under Exhibit D, I think, is the notice information. But the I know it was the SEPA checklist, the earlier memorandum that had at least one page missing from LDC. Trying to think what else. And then Exhibit N will be the new or additional brief memorandum from Mark Bilwacht. And then that posting information, if the clerk can send all that to my office, I trust we'll get it all in the record. We don't need to leave the record open, as it were, but I think then that would take care of everything. Does that make sense, Cindy White?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So I think with that, we can go ahead and conclude our hearing. So my intent is to take all of this under review. I've already been reviewing it, but my office intends on issuing a decision here in the next couple of weeks. So I guess it hopefully either right before Christmas or right after, but the applicant can expect it. Probably still in 2022 would be the hope on our end, but essentially 10 business days from today would be the plan. So I think with that, we can conclude this matter. So thank you to everybody for being here, taking the time to participate, answer my questions, and we'll end our hearing. Wish everyone safety and good health. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.